We've gone from shaved heads to skin fades to long, luscious locks.
Hey, I might be rivaling our mate John Holden soon.
Johnny Holden has a beautiful, beautiful bunch of hair on his head.
I'm catching him up.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Blue Abroad YouTube channel. After a semi-final win, and we've got semi-final player ratings, which means there's going to be good ratings all round. It's going to be a good fun session tonight. Pommy, sheesh, how was this one?
Pretty good, eh? Pretty good. I've got to say, finals football, it's just different when you're in it. It's like so good when you're in it. Yeah. I enjoy it neutrally, but something else when you're in it, isn't there? Like the thrill, the excitement, it's everything you could want.
It is absolutely everything you could want. Yeah. It's got it all. We'll touch on the vibe and the feeling on the Blue Abroad show at 7. We've got some ratings to get through. So let's begin, because we're going to run out of time if we don't. So let's do this one. Hang on.
It's the far end one.
The far end one. All right, stand by. Oh, wow, this is going to be interesting. While I fix this, tell me about Brody Kemp. And ladies and gentlemen, add your comments to the Brody Kemp story for the night.
Can't you see the TPI one?
Am I got the wrong one? Oh.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. I can see on my screen.
There you go. All right, there we go.
Brody Kemp,
let's go.
Hey, Brodius Kemp, eh? I mean, what a coming of age for this guy. I mean, 1 minute you're playing VFL as a forward, yet you've been moved around pillar to post. This year he's come into the system as a full-time defender, going from strength to strength, isn't he? He had his moments. Had his moments against Joel Smith at times, where Joel Smith got the better of him. But like a lot of them, credit to him that he just kept on going. The pure one-on-one, he won. Bit of a defensive job. They're a medium-sized side, so he had to work on his ground ball game. Bit less counter-punching from the bat this week from the Blues, even though that they did have their highest score for a while in scores from transition, 42 points. But all in all, a solid defender, really. Like, if that's his worst game and you've won a semi-final, how bad is your game?
Yeah. I'll let you just upload the Brody Kemp number together with the Wiedering number, because I think they're missing. But I thought Brody had it. Yeah, there were a few moments where I thought, okay, young fella's going to learn from that. I think a couple of them had those moments. But I think we said this last week, the experience, it's, you know, this is not something we usually talk about with younger players, like the experience they now get in finals football. So this has been a really good year for Brody's development, both from what he's been able to do and from what he is now being able to experience because of that. So I think it's going to hold him in good stead. I can see Wiedering. Hang on. Let's go, Kempy. All right. What'd he go? What'd he get? Kempy, 5.5. I'm not so surprised at that, because I did notice a few of the errors, but that's okay. We'll move on to Wiedering, mate. One of many pure warriors, hey?
Well, I mean, the guy was winded, evidently, for most of the fourth quarter. But, I mean, I said it in my review. People tell me that Silvani, he was quite rightly named fullback of the year. Them kind of things, when people tell me that, blag my head when you have a player like this who I consider the best defender I've seen in my time in this country. The things this guy does is unbelievable. The one-handed marks falling away from the ball, the being knocked out of position and then knocking someone back to get in position. So hard to do. Without a shadow of a doubt, I don't care what anyone says, this guy is the best defender in the league with no exceptions. And the difference between good and great in sport is doing it when it counts.
Yep.
I think anyone can be great round 14 away to Gold Coast. Can you do it, though, when it matters? And this guy here in a final, tell you what, pressure onto the high ball, he doesn't feel it, does he?
This, I wouldn't say the symbolic moment, but one of the many symbolic moments from Friday night with Wiedering in particular. So he starts the chain by looking inboard and making the kick to Ollie Hollins. And if you just rewind 3 months ago, he was one of the many defenders who was just taking that half a second too long to think about what was happening before he would execute. So to see him take the mark and then know exactly what he needed to do and execute straight away, I think was symbolic. He was sensational, and he scored a 9. Wow.
His fifth consecutive game as well, 100% one-on-ones. That's guy's deadly. But spot on what you say there as well. He's become a playmaker down the back now. Yep. He's really got that confidence, and you can see Voss has instilled him that freedom to, when you see the moment, take it. That has been a real big thing this week. That this week particularly, you saw when he had the opportunity, he went for it. He didn't think about it.
Yeah, I love it. Revenge season is upon us for Jacob Wiedering. Alex Chincotta, I don't know what he scored, and I know that he is a player that is in a role that doesn't offer him many opportunities to shine. But I really see a renewed and heightened level of trust from the coaching staff and the players to Alex because of the jobs he gets. And just seeing the footage of him with his family after the game, mate, he was exhausted. He gives it all, no matter what.
Mate, Spawn, I mean, the uneducated amongst us will be like, oh, Kasiah Pickett kicked 2 goals, 3.
Mm.
The intelligent among us will understand that Kasiah Pickett is one of the best players in the league at doing what he does when he decides to play football, not when he's been a complete prick. But footballer, he's good. And I think you go back and watch that game, and I really appreciated his game on the rewatch.
Yep.
Pickett was threatening to have a day out. Yeah. Pickett was threatening to take that game away from Carlton. And the 2 goals, 3... the 3 behinds are partly because of him being on him like a glove. And some of the spoils, some of the ways he got the ball away from Pickett are insane. That game could have been a 7-goal, 4 game, 7-goal, 5 game. So although he got beaten at times by him, I think ultimately they broke even, both him and Pickett, in their duels. And the 9 pressure acts down the back, only one player in the team who will come up soon had more than him, his ability on the deck. He only lost twice to Pickett, it needs to be said, on the deck as well. He won 1-on-1 in the air, and he won two out of three on the deck. So only lost twice to one of the best players at the ground ball in this league. So solid game from Chincotta.
Yeah. So Alex Chincotta with a 5. Mitch McGovern. Poof. Thought he was much better this week than last week. I just thought his influence was a bit more easier to see, particularly in the replay.
He's something else, his old Mitchie. Something else. Very reliable when he wants to be. You can see he's got that. He was real strong with the 9 intercept possessions. Bit of a different role for both him and McGovern this week. Both of them had to play more of a lockdown role. This guy got Bailey Fritch, who anyone who's watched my content will know that Bailey Fritch is one of my favourite players to watch for what he does. Real tough job. And he pretty much kept him quiet. And then Carlton shifted him onto some of the smaller guys as well towards the end of the game, which is an even harder job. So real strong one-on-one. 100%, can't ask for much more. The meters gained, though, were real strong. He set us up from the back when we were under a little bit of shit. He's not scared to take the hard kick on. He has a kick rating this week of 9 out of 10. That means that he's going for dangerous kicks, kicks that generally will bite you in the arse. He didn't do any save kicks. And as Gav correctly says, for all the hard work of Ollie Hollins, this guy here was the hero, really.
Yeah.
He did that dummy lead, which allowed Blake Akers to do what he wanted.
Yeah, and we saw it. We saw moments of what we can use Mitch McGovern for up forward if need be as well. So he scored a 7. There you go. Very solid. Nick Newman. Haven't seen his score yet. Actually, I have. So I won't comment on his score, but remarkable. His composure is, it shows. The guys that do the basics are really standing out in finals.
An interesting proposition for Nick Newman this week. He got the killer of backlines, Neil Bullen. So Neil Bullen is a guy that I like to talk about a lot in previews. There's a guy, Langford, Essendon, I talk about underrated players that have an ability to kill you down the back. And this is the only gentleman who's gone up against Neil Bullen this year and had quality offensive numbers to the extent that Neil Bullen was almost a passenger in the forward line. And that guy is as good as you will find a tagger in the forward line. 10 pressure acts. He turned his aggression against him very early on. Neil Bullen lost his rag with Nick Newman around 12 minutes into the first. He threw a little undercut into his rib cage because of the attention, and Nick Newman just laughs in his face. And you could see Neil Bullen's head had gone at that point. His head was like, oh, God. 3 score launches, insane. And these are score launches which are judged from the back of stoppages. And that's the new thing that Voss has really implemented this year. The defenders go behind the stoppage and try and get defence into attack. 11 marks, 10 pressure acts in the defensive half.
Wow.
2 of them were goal-saving spoils of them pressure acts as well. Nick Newman's as close to the complete player we've ever seen. And as Gav says, like I said, Neil Bullen to get better has got to choose. Does he like his mum more or his dad? Stop that hyphenated stuff. Pick a side when you're 18. Stick with it.
Nui with a 9. Very good. Very good indeed. Adam Saad. That was one of the better games I think I've seen him play. He's just so assured. We are actually blessed with the depth that we have in this back half. Saadi was superb for mine.
Had the tough job of after the second goal that Pickett caught.
Yeah.
As much as we've got to give Chin Cotter a lot of kudos, this guy went on him.
Yeah.
For a whole quarter when Pickett was probably at his most dangerous. An understated part of this guy's game is how high his percentage was of contested possessions. We mentioned it 4 weeks ago. And this is a guy that the media in this country, SEN particularly, getting a bit of a shout out from Uncle Bomb, continued this narrative that he can't defend last year, that he's good offensively. One thing we've seen with Saadi is his defense is probably, I would say, stronger than his attack. And his ability to turn defense into attack, insane. One of them score launches as well was really interesting. He actually ripped the ball out of the possession of Clayton Oliver. So if you think of the size difference between them two, that is mental. He did a little sexy shimmy and delivered it straight down the guts to a running Sam Walsh, which set Carlton up for their first score of the second half. Insane. 4 score involvements, the 6 hard ground ball gets. This guy's as tough as a badger's ass, but he's also quick. Man, he's also quick and he can hurt you attacking-wise. Him and Nick Newman, for me, are the best halfback pairing in the league, bar none, because they have no weaknesses. They have 0 weaknesses between them.
So true. Marty, spot on with this. The Wolves. It gets you when you hear the Wolf, when we really wind it up. Like, some of them are very loud, some of them not so loud, but the ones that are super loud where we know it's coming and he takes 2 seconds to kick the ball so we know, like, we're prepared, it's really phenomenal and it just gives us another edge in the crowd.
My favorite one is the Wolf you guys do when it's a dinky little chip kick. There was a great moment. I think it's in the second quarter. He does a little dinky chip kick to McGovern, and then he runs on, and you're halfway through your woof, and you've got to give another one because he gets the handball received and booms it, and it's just like a fucking 20-second long woof. It is quality, and you know what? This guy is playing his best footballs in the finals at the moment.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. That's all you really need to do. So an 8 for Adam Saad. Blake Akers, have a look at that for a heat map. What is he doing? This guy is, he's not well. He's got the thing. He's got the darkness in his head. He's able to push through what most can't push through.
Tell you what, you've got a dicky collarbone. You're playing the game. You could see the painkillers walked off about 22 minutes into the first when they went with that little game of trying to hurt him. And, you know, iconic scene for me, we'll come on to him, is Cripps. This guy got absolutely dogged in a tackle. Disgraceful. Yeah. You knew what they were doing. They were trying to aggravate that. And to see Cripps come from about 45 meters away to grab the guy by the throat and rip him off just shows you what our leader is. Cripps knew he had to protect him. But look at that heat map and 16 kilometers run. There's going to be another person we're going to talk about who equally ran a long way, but these numbers are insane. You've got to remember, this time last year we had Lockie O'Brien doing this job. Like, that's banter. that's like comparing Robbie Williams in a grand final to Meatloaf. Like, you are talking, this guy is tough, he's quick, he works hard defensively and offensively. Numerous times when Melbourne got on top, this guy was running through the forward line, and then he'd be there down back. He would be one of the first to come and help. This guy is a freak of nature. And the fact there is a debate of who's the pickup of the year, this guy's numero uno. Like, it isn't even close. It's Blake Akers, and maybe his agent could be the second best pickup of the year. Phenomenal work from Blake.
Yeah, it was. So he scored a 9. Remarkable effort. Cripps. Oh, wow. This is just the great version, the greatest version of him. I love this version of him. He's matured. You mentioned him just now with the Akers attention that the D's were giving him with the hurt collarbone, and like, just to see him grab, I don't know who it was. It might've actually been Neil Bullen, to see him grab him by the throat and have him on the ground there. Just, he sets the tone now with his, he knows when to pick his moments to actually impose himself. It's awesome to watch.
You stole my line. This is my favorite version of Cripps. You're coming along, Terry. Don't want sure pony Cripps. I like this mean son of a bitch Cripps that we've developed. The great leaders I've seen, I've been born in a great era for sport, for leadership. You've got players like Kobe Bryant, Roy Keane, these players that just kind of personified work ethic, but also being, it's probably a dirty word now, but being a man, a man, whatever being a man is, he exudes it. And Cripps' ability to protect his players, his ability to really take on being bullied this week. He was targeted, breaking his nose in the first 10 minutes. Is there anything sexier in the world of sport than your leader covered in blood? Like, that just warms the cockles for me. And I remember the first quarter saying on the watch along, this was that John Wick's movie where the gangster's son kills his dog. And like, I could imagine Kasiah Pickett going to Max Gawn and going, just broken the twat's nose. And Max Gawn being filled with dread, going, that's Patrick Cripps' nose you've broken. You're already dead.
Yep.
And Cripps, something overcome him. This guy is another level. 16 contested possessions, 9 clearances, 7 score involvements. This guy was the link in nearly every chain that Cripper produced. This guy is... The word hero is way overused in today's society. Everything you do, you're a hero. You choose broccoli at Coles instead of fucking chips. You're a hero. That's brave. This is true bravery. This is true hero. This makes me want to get a poster of the guy and put it in my room at 38. Like, this guy is a hero.
The other thing I noticed about Cripps, when I watched the replay, it didn't hit me until then. So there were a couple of handballs which would definitely have registered as clearances. So he had the presence of mind to handball into space, which was what I remember watching from him from his junior days when we put the highlights package together, like his handball into space. They used to compare him to Diesel with the big handball. Mate, he starts unlocking that because naturally he just draws people to him because you need more than one person for the most part to, you know, impact him when he's got ball in hand. And his ability now to see outside of stoppage and handball outside of stoppage while he's in the depths of it, it's Judd-like, dare I say it. Judd had the same trait.
Mate, you can't be a good footballer, in my opinion. You can't be a good sportsman. You don't deserve to be called the best unless you do it in a final.
Yeah.
It's impossible. And Cripper is showed you the difference between pissing about on TikTok, making shit pasta recipes, and growing a mustache in the off-season like Oliver. You saw the difference between being quality and thinking you're quality. And Cripps did it hard. Cripps did it hard. There's a lot of players in the final series who have been targeted and shied away. Cripps took a shit sandwich for this football club and still impacted. Hero. Like, there's no one who deserves a flag more than this guy. And last week will be remembered when we win this flag till the end of time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's have a look at what he scored. He scored an 8. So there you go, ladies and gents. Talk about another hero, Sam Doherty. Thought we'd lost him. I really did. I saw Ollie start warming up. I was sitting right where Doc hurt himself up on level 2, and he just sort of sat there, and I thought he was absorbing the moment within himself and sort of thinking that it was done. And so did I. I thought it was done for the year, and that would be the end of Doc. And then to see him make plays above his head, including the... you know, that last play as well. I don't know where the space came from. I'm just putting it down to divine intervention. Mate, this is a real hero.
Mate, when there's destiny involved, it doesn't matter if you break something. Injuries don't count. Destiny doesn't wait for that. Destiny finds a way to fulfill. And he is something else, Doc. Like, everyone in the chat was worried. And I was just like, this is Sam Doherty, man. He survived cancer twice. He's played for the worst football team of all time. Do you think he's going to fucking leave the ground because of a little bit of damage to himself? This guy is another level. We talked about Cripps being a hero. We are so blessed as a football club that we've got two personalities of this magnitude. Do you know what I mean? And just watching, there's something about him. The crowd lifts when he gets the ball. The players lift,
mate,
don't they?
That last play, when it got to the moment where he had clearly won possession of the ball and turned around, he had about 15 meters of space in front of him and he ran into it. The crowd, like, we all saw the space open up and we just, goosebumps thinking about it. So special.
The only thing that's annoying is he didn't kick a goal.
Yeah.
Because the noise at the G when he kicks a goal is insane.
Yeah,
I reckon we might have been heard from space had he kicked a goal. But, you know, just again, he's just a true definition of the warrior. True definition. Yep.
Spot on. So Doc scored a 7. Cunningham. Now this is where it gets interesting. He's not a high possession type player as it is. He's more of what they call an impact player. We don't rely on him to have the ball a lot of the time, but the reality is he's now been subbed 2 games in a row. So how do you view his game?
It was a tough one for him. I mean, he's a low possession, high impact player. This game doesn't really suit him. Connors wants free-flowing football, and that's no detriment to him. That's just how it is. That's how he's built. So he did what he had to. Had his moments that I'd say he had some big moments at times. He made that tackle as Christian Salem was steaming out. So that's a plus 4 tackles. just it wasn't quite there for him to be able to pull the game apart because of the way it was. And like I say, we're seeing less and less game time even before he's subbed. I do think the preseason is probably going away from him, the lack of it in this late in the season. But still, Mas probably will have a huge role to play because I don't think there's anyone else you'd want in a grand final other than Cunners. These are the type of players that will save their best till then.
Yep. Well, Brisbane is more of a free-flowing game, opponent, it would seem, than what the D's are. So early call, but do you keep him in for the Lions?
God, that's tough, Terry. Mackay and Martin are walk-up starts. There's, do you know what I mean? That they are the only two that are coming into this side from now till the end of the year. You can forget anyone else's name. So, I mean, it'd be top of the tree, you'd imagine, with him being subbed early. I don't want to make that call, though, Terry. I'm going to be a complete coward.
Well, tune into the selection table this week and we'll find out what he does. Okay, so we're 5 for Cunning. And we move over to Lachie Fogarty. This was just the quintessential Lachie Fogarty game, I thought. Just the standard good Lachie Fogarty game.
He's one of these players, right, that really pissed me off, right, with the way people talk about him. Nearly 90% of people, when they do their team selection, always have this guy coming out, right? And it kills me because what more can you want? 50% of this guy's touches became a score. They are insane. Sheesh. And then you combine that with the tackles. This was a more offensive game from him. We've not seen this from Fogarty, but this guy here, you can't win football matches without players like this. And that is why, because he makes it hard to exit D50, which is the hardest thing for Carlton. And if you've ever removed Fogarty out of this side or players like that, that is mental to me. This guy is so underappreciated, it hurts. He is becoming the Nick Newman of the forward line, right? He is becoming the Nick Newman of the forward line that no one gives him the kudos. By a country mile, our most important forward this week. And he will be one of the guys. I'm sure if you sat with Voss, Carlton wouldn't have won this game without this guy.
I heard a great quote today. I was speaking to someone at the club and we're talking about certain guys that you call replay players. So the guys that you watch a replay and then you realize, oh, he was actually good. And I think Fogarty's definitely one of those players. You realize how many times he's in and under, on the bottom of packs, critical tackles, critical handballs, critical kicks. He's got this, I used to call it the Geelong in him. And it's his ability to lower his eyes and not panic under pressure. And I mean, he's one of the many stories this year that I'm shocked to be talking about at this point in the year, let alone us being a part of this year. And the fact that we now need him to win a flag, like that's where I'm at with him. That's the belief I've got in him.
Mate, spot on. And, you know, I adore what Fogarty does. He's one of the few players for me when I watch the finals live.
Yep.
That I'm struggling to remember the games after I watch it. Fog is one who always stands out because of just how hard he works defensively. He doesn't allow easy ball out. And that's been the detriment of Carlton for 5 years. Mm. So it's no surprise to me that he's in there. It changes. Absolute beauty to watch.
Love it. So 7 for Fogarty. Matty Cottrell, who was one of our best on ground, if not the best on ground last week, got himself a feature on the thumbnail this week, Pom. That's how big his game was.
Big time plays. And I'm sure that aside from winning finals, being on a thumbnail is more important, I reckon. I reckon that's an honour. And Cottrell deserves the honour. We talk about role players. This guy works the sacrificial lamb role a lot of the times. He had a tough job. There's a few people I've seen in the comments on Twitter cop heat. he's one of them, and George Hewitt's the other. I saw George Hewitt being dropped this week, and we'll come on to that, and I'll prove you wrong if you think that. But this guy had to go on Langdon, and then he was switched on a guy called Trent Rivers. Now, if you remember this show last week, right, there were some Melbourne guys in there going, "You won't stop Trent Rivers." Hey, mate, if you're watching, we fucking did stop Trent Rivers. Fucking someone must have drained it. Didn't see him. Yeah. Matty Cottrell, hard running. With that overlap run they play, is very difficult. And he managed to negate that a lot. 17 kilometers, ran 6 marks. So this is where him and Akers switched this week because of that shoulder. He was the exit ball. Do you know what I mean? He was the exit ball. And 5 score involvements, absolutely fantastic from him. Again, another high involvement in Carlton's transition, which was really poignant after Daniel Hoyne doubled down this week, saying Carlton won't win games unless they score from turnover. 42 points, if you don't mind, this week from turnover, partly down to this kid. So congrats, Matty, if you're watching. Hard yeah. work to change your game, to change your yeah. game from being the aggressive guy to now the defensive runner. Real hard switch. That not many players can do that in the league.
No, not at all. So a 7 for Matt Cottrell. Charlie boy, I don't recall. I mean, I'm just going to give kudos to Stephen May. And there's that element to this picture of talking about Charlie's game. There's the reminder. I don't know if anyone actually needs a reminder as to why Harry Mackay is so important to this team. It wasn't a game for Charlie. And look, Stephen May is a really good one-on-one defender. And I thought Charlie just didn't win the battle over the 4 quarters. And it happens.
Do you know what I mean? People have come out and said, like, we're a better team without Harry. Let's be honest. There is these people that walk amongst us. When Charlie himself is saying that he needs Harry, which ironically, a couple of years ago, Harry said he needed Charlie. There's a synergy there. You can see that they know it. Voss talks about Harry as a walk-up start. Like, if you don't take my word for it, don't take Terry's word for it. Take the best forward Carlton's produced for a decade's word for it. And take the best coach Carlton has produced for 2 decades' word for it. Harry is Charlie's foil. It's Yoko Ono and John Lennon. Do you know what I mean? They need each other. They're a synergy. And this week we had to see Charlie play more of a Harry role, had to go forward. The big thing about Charlie Curnow this week is I did see a few posts a couple of weeks ago going, "Oh, Charlie's lazy defensively." And I'm like, Jesus Christ, what God. He did have his 2 tackles inside 50 this week, right? 2 tackles inside 50 this week and became a bit of a pressure-based player. 5 marks, 2 tackles. But Stephen May, it was an easy job. Stephen May and Lever had probably the easiest job in the world because, well, come on to Kennedy, that didn't work. That didn't work, and Lever was allowed to be free, which allowed May to play a pure lockdown role. And it never quite got going for Charlie. But, you know, fair play to him. He battled and presented yeah. from start to finish.
Yeah, no doubt. So a 5 for Charlie Curnow. Matty Oisey's next. We'll touch on Kennedy as well. I think there were a few players who maybe didn't have as much of an impact, but moments come and go in finals. And I thought always took his moment in the 4th quarter when he kicked the goal, set shot under pressure. You're going to get this type of game from always. You just are. You're just not going to get 13 touches and 2 goals every week.
I think all 23 players stood up when they had a moment.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And always, this wasn't a game that he'll go home and go, kids, second weekend of September, semi-final versus Melbourne, let's put the highlights on. It will be one of them games, but he played a role. Them 3 tackles, very important. One of them, 2 ground ball gets, he managed to create the stoppage, which Carlton ultimately scored from. Them little things when you've only won by 2 points add up at the end of the game. And he served his role. And it was a tough week for the forwards. I don't think it's been understated. It's really been downplayed by the media, where last week everyone was raving about what Collingwood did. statistically, by the eye, whatever you measure with. I don't know if some people use the brain anymore to analyze football. I think they use feelings. So even if you use your feelings, we were superior to what Collingwood did to Melbourne in a lot of ways with less of the skills, with less of our usual forward 50. And always worked his arse off, really. Really worked his arse off. And, you know, one of his best output game. But he did his job from start to finish.
Another one that's going to benefit from having Harry in the side. So a 5 for Owies as we move along to Deconing, baby. Deconing's in the air everywhere I look around. Sheesh. Saw this one coming. We were on the phone together talking about it. It was all starting to bubble. It was all starting to bubble. He was starting to take the marks. He showed some signs over the last 4 to 6 weeks, got the contract situation out, and now he's got a game in finals to, like, you know, springboard off.
A lot of people have given Pittenet way too much praise, right? Mm. For Gorn's statistically worst, second worst outputted game for 2 years. So that's something that I think TDK's kind of been let down with, to be honest, because the real thing that killed Max Gorn, and we've seen Max Gorn have these results in the ruck to some shit ruckmen, to be honest. We've never seen, though, Max Gorn have such a negative effect around the ground. And this guy wore Max Gorn like a glove around the ground. Pittenet beat him up one-on-one in the rug contest, but around the ground, TDK left him for dead. There was a wonderful intercept mark that he took in the third quarter, which was bread and butter for Max Gorn, and he's come from the side and got taken it out. And you don't often see Max Gorn outsmarted like that. But ruck numbers, 50% of the battles he had, and he went up against Max Gorn 18 times. He won 50% of them. That's huge. 2 goals, 5 intercept possessions, numerous ground ball gets, numerous exits from the clearances. Deconing was everywhere. And again, another coming of age for him, another coming of age.
Well, you can't, I think you can't understate how important his first quarter was. We hadn't kicked a goal. We had 3 in a row kicked on us. Somebody needed to do something to just get us into the flow of the game and start the momentum. And, you know, whenever we kick the first goal of any game, the crowd roar begins because it's the first opportunity to celebrate a goal. So I thought his first quarter just really got us into the game and, you know, very mature performance. And he scored an 8. Yeah. And he scored an 8, Deconing. Pitto, often maligned, this guy. The one mark, I'm glad you put it up because he's had that exact same moment. I think I can probably reel off 4 or 5 occasions where he's had that exact mark. He's touched it with his hands and dropped it, but he took it. Was hoping to see a few more marks from him, but we'll take one. Mate, just threw his body around. And, you know, Voss says he likes it when the two of them are in there and they work off each other and they complement each other, and what one can do, the other one can't. And yeah, I think it just, Marcos here, his rating might not reflect how much we needed him.
Particularly when we watch against a team like this. So a team that's gone in with one ruckman.
Yeah.
This is where you forgive Pittenet for kind of doing nothing around the ground, because I've gone, had to deal with this monster, but then he would slide down the back, would Pittenet, as you can see with his heat map. We played him behind the ball, which I think Voss has accidentally found where to put him, just deploy him there, right? Get him out of the way and be a body. And he did a lot of things like bringing it to ground, which helped Saad and Newman out. But I do think as well, what it does is it allows Newman then, I mean, TDK then, to take a battered and bruised guy and say, right, okay, I'm going to play. You're going to chase me now. He's beating you up. Now you've got to chase me when you're ragged and you're tired and you've been physicaled. And it's a real nice little combination of these two. And, you know, he really put some hard body on it. That first stoppage clearance when they had the throw-in, and he absolutely ragdolled Max Gorn, which I think sent a little message to their Melbourne midfielders. You're in a bit of shit here.
Yep.
you're having a bit of a nightmare here. And I like them little standards are so important.
Well, you know what they say, mate, hips don't lie. Watch the hips. Watch his hips. He just puts them in the way of the opposition midfield. So he registered a 6 for his game. As we move over to his followers, Adam Chera. Shaved head Chera. Looks like a... Well, his heat map looks exactly like the object that you want a midfielder's heat map to look like when you know they've had a good game.
Yeah, an exclamation mark. We'll call it.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Chesney, he's one of the guys that just lights up. Like, he just makes you smile, doesn't he, Chesney?
Yeah.
Against the midfield, so people need to forget that I rave about Carlton's midfield, right? But there is one midfield that I think has very similar facets. And it should be understated that Dan Hoyne ran an article on Monday this week, just gone, saying that stop Carlton's stoppage and centre clearance work, you'll beat them, right? Were his words, you'll beat them. And lo and behold, Melbourne did. But unfortunately, Carlton can find ways to skin cats. And Chera was a guy that really adapted his game. So usually we're seeing high defensive numbers from Chera. This week, we saw a real spread. Him and Hewitt sacrificed their game to take turns in going on Petraka and going on Viney. And both of them had to switch them roles. And both of them really got the better, particularly of Petraka in their times. And Chera started to make old Petraka defend. And I think Petraka's got a lot of defending to do in the off-season, particularly with his TikToks. They are appalling.
One cooks on TikTok, the other cooks on the MCG.
I know where I'd rather have on my list, this guy here, because this guy would just order the pasta in.
He's still so young, Chera. Like, he's still in that bracket where you can say, like, him and Walsh, who we'll touch on shortly, they're still very young in the grand scheme of when midfielders really, you know, come into their own. So he's going to add more layers to his game, but he just starts at such a strong base, which is the fundamentals. He does them so well.
Mate, he's there when you need him. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me at the moment is Chera, Hewitt, Cripps, Walsh will get you. One of them will get you. And that was what we saw this week, right? We saw Viney have an okay game, but then Oliver and Traka had below outputs from what they've been doing this year, where Carlton, two of their midfielders, rose above from where they've been, two stayed the same, and that wins you football games.
Yeah, a 7.5 from Chera, as Ari reminds us that Track made fettuccine and called it spaghetti. Says it all, doesn't
it? I feel
it?
Really bad, but I do not know the difference. Apologies, Italians out there. If you wonder why I don't, it's my accent.
But it's fettuccine is the flat, long pasta. Spaghetti.
Oh, like tagliatelle.
Yeah.
Okay. And spaghetti's the thin shit that you slurp.
Yeah.
Well, like, dare I say it, like noodles.
Yeah, spaghetti's a bit like noodles.
So, I'm so sorry to Paolo, who is my mate, who probably fucking hates me now.
All right. A 7.5 from Chera. People looking forward to this all show.
Paolo's watched that and gone, this twat's hugged and kissed my mum.
I'm telling you, he's scratching his head. That's what he's doing.
He's questioning our friendship.
Look at that big schlong of a heat map for Sam Walsh, mate. Sheesh.
Well, things I don't know about spaghetti, but things that I do know about good midfield games, and Sam Walsh as close to perfection as we can see. Defensively, incredibly solid. Incredibly solid. 618 metres gained. Insane numbers. Insane numbers. The two goals, top end speeds, defensive and attacking as well. He was the leading midfielder for speed in defence and attack, which for an inside mid who spent 90% of the game as an inside mid, that's unheard of. You don't hear shit like that. That's usually a winger that we're talking about with that numbers. tell you what, we talk about the difference between good and great is what you do in a final. And his two finals have been as close to perfect as you can get.
Yeah.
So insane. And believe it or not, the man who was on him for the entire game was a gentleman called Jack Viney. And he absolutely battered Viney, and Viney had a decent game, but there's just a difference in skill level. Being tough and being skillful, they're two different things.
I mean, the external, the mainstream media will talk about Walsh, and some will point out, and he might not damage the scoreboard as much, but very few of them talk about his two-way running. And like, I look out for pressure acts more than I ever have, thanks to this show. I know that 20 is solid, 25 is pretty good, 30 is like you've taken the piss. This guy here, mate, over 40 pressure acts, and I had to look at it again.
Mental.
It's crazy. Like, and it's, I'm speechless at it. I don't know how to talk about it. Like, it's over 40 pressure acts. He's broken the scale.
Remember last time we played them, we discussed Viney having 40 and Oliver, and saying that they're the leading players for Melbourne. They set a standard. It's crazy that, just to put it in perspective, this game, Oliver and Viney's pressure acts combined, Walsh wins on his own. His work rate, insane. That's obscene. And what is more obscene is genuinely high pressure act players have very low offensive output. He was our highest offensive player as well. Not only our highest defensive rated player on the park today, our highest attacking rated player.
Wow.
The conversations are over. Rosie might have been a better pick. elite bands.
Have a look. So
you take Walsh every day.
Yeah. We don't know his score just yet. His score is a 10. I feel like I could add a +2 to that. That's one of the best games I've seen anyone play this year. Now knowing that I look at the other side of the ball as well. Filth.
Oh, especially when you think about how hard he's working defensively. Like that's the bit that is midfielders. If you're an aggressive midfielder, an attacking midfielder, you get kudos. If you're a defensive midfielder, you get kudos, right? Not as much as the attacking one. Not many people, though, can put it into perspective that this guy was our best defensive and attacking midfielder in one player. Like that's insane from him. Insane. Like, we're talking insane. You'll remember that when we win the flag this year, it'll be remembered as Walsh's final series.
The Walsh game. Yeah. Also, just with Walsh, he will absolutely be featuring on the thumbnails this week.
No surprise there. He's won this one.
Jesse Motlop. Hey, this was an important one. We spoke about Martin being out last week. Jesse came on as the sub last week, got a taste of it. Really proud of his effort. Really proud of the way he went about it and got the job done.
Mate, it's easy. It's an easy game, isn't it? Sometimes. People had a crack at him last week, and I defended him, and I said that it's not his fault. It's hard to come on doing this role halfway through a game. You saw the intent from Motlop. He was ready to go from opening bounce. Opening bounce, he was ready to go. Chasing everyone. He chased Salem at times as if he'd stole his lunch money. Worked really hard on the deck. Really hard on the deck. And took his two goals brilliantly. There is something about that gets me excited when you see a young Indigenous forward in a final. You know it's going to be good. It's they've got an inherent ability, and there's something gorgeous about the end of the game, him just taking a walk with Dad, going through a bar with mental counting people, and, you know, quality. Jesse Motlop, built for finals, and his actions, it has to be said, go back and watch the start of the game when they did the welcome to the country, when Uncle Colin did the welcome to the country. This guy looked fired up. Like, there was some killer instinct behind his eyes. He was ready to die on that field, and he played like he did. And what a superstar. What a superstar he is.
A true delight. So Jesse scored a 7.5. As we move on.
Disappointed with his celebration, though.
Yeah. Matty Kennedy. Let's talk. Came in, missed quite a bit of footy. I watched him at training today, no strapping on the knee, which is a good sign. So it's good to get the game into him. I think I mentioned this sentence earlier about, you know, there's certain players that maybe didn't have the impact, but the moments, finals is a game of moments. And I think Kennedy took his important ones.
He did. He worked into it well. I mean, it's a funny thing because I saw a few things floating around. He played key forwards as a junior. And I had to go back through my notes because I remember his draft well. We're looking at 15 years old when he had a bit of a growth spurt. Other than that, he was actually earmarked as a potential halfback his last year and then played on the ball. So he's always had the knack for kicking goals, though, from half forward. He took his goal well. You saw the first half, though, it did cost us. He didn't quite have the forward nous that you see with Jack Martin. Great example is Cherno bullets a kick in to centre-half forward. He should have run on. He became a midfielder and naturally went our goal side of the ball to protect it. And that's the difference between the forward savvy and the midfield savvy. Remember last year when I used to go mental about Setterfield on the wing?
Mm.
Same thing. You can't fight who you are. But all in all, he battled all day. And that's all you can ask. In a final, you've got to battle all day. You've got to battle all day. Will he play next week against Brisbane? Probably not. But he did his job to the best of his capability.
He's available. You know, he's got a game into him now. So he scored a 5. Marchi, how do you look at Marchi's game? 10 pressure acts, 1 one-on-one wins and 5 marks were the key stats we've got up here on screen.
People don't give our backline any credit for this week because Melbourne are probably the most awkward matchup because everyone seems to be a medium-sized player. When forward, this guy had Christian Petrarca on his hands and Petrarca was almost useless. And that's why I put the pressure axe there. He really played Petrarca's game. And when Petrarca did his little sneaky bring it to ground, I'm going to beat you, he was crunched by this guy. One-on-one, he had that against Joel Smith, won it. 5 marks, which is fairly average. It was a decent game from him. Tough game, though, for forwards because they had to be really defensive this week because Melbourne did have the advantage over mobility over Carlton, where Carlton had the height. So very interesting tactic. They did pretty well.
Yep. He's got a 5.5. Georgie Hewitt. How'd you see George's game? It wasn't as prolific, but I don't think he was poor.
Most underrated game on the park. His direct matchup in the midfield was Christian Petrarca. And if Christian Petrarca has a game like the AFL average this year, Carlton lose that game, not by 10, not by 20, by 30 points. Right. Like, this guy played a rudimentary tagging role on Petrarca. They moved Petrarca forward to Marchbank, we just talked about. He battered him. And then he went against Trent Rivers when Trent Rivers was swung on the ball, which is what Papley did for Sydney. It's a method that these teams are trying to beat Carlton with. And there's no one you can name. So you could name Kennedy. Hewitt is so far ahead of Kennedy in the midfield, it actually is criminal. You could name Dow. Hewitt is so far ahead of Dow in the midfield, it's actually illegal. It's illegal to even call them both footballers. The most selfless game, he will have come off from the park. And I guarantee if you speak to Voss, how important was this guy's game to negate Petrarca, who can take games away from you. Superstar quality, because that game there, everything is the high end of AFL average, and he worked his arse off to stop a very solid midfield, and they beat us around stoppage and clearance. It would have been even worse if he didn't be there. Yeah, so solid game from him
indeed. So he's got a 5.5. So those are the starting 22. Then young Ollie Hollins gets a run. Gets his opportunity. They said he couldn't play finals because he was too small. But he had the one word which he mentioned to you when you did the draft profile on him, and that was composure. And it actually didn't matter what he did on the ground. That last play, the composure, everything slowed down. It kind of reminded me of West Coast's final play in the 2018 Granny and that chain. Good on him. Good on the lad.
Tell you what, when he looked where you were, me in the eye, I asked him what you'd do 5 minutes to go, game on the line. said it with so much calm and poise. And there's a moment in that game, surreal Pom. Let's get inside Pom psyche, that watch along. The kick is switched to Ollie Hollands. And in that moment in time, no one existed, just the players and me. It was like I had a moment in time where I was just there. We were the only ones alive. And Ollie Hollands, bold kick, out on the lead, took the dangerous kick. What a man, man. Like, honestly, you don't become Pommy certified easily. It's quite hard to get it. Tell you what, Ollie, man, you did us proud that night. So proud of him. And you know what? There's no one who I've ever met who is as hardworking as this kid from such a young age. So proud of him. And I'll tell you what, it means to him what it means to everyone in chat, because I've spoken to this guy for about 3 hours. That interview was an hour. He gave me 3 hours of his time. And this guy is a total fucking nuffy. If he wasn't a footballer, he'd be begging to come on this show with me and Terry. He absolutely is one of us, right? Yeah. He's mental.
You know how, I mean, if it's not already evident that he's going to be a great player, not a good player, a great player, you've just got to watch him at training. I went today. It was a glorified captain's run today. It was just get some run through the legs. He is going at 100% with everything he does. Like, it's greatness. So he scored a 6.
Which is pretty good for 20% at the time.
Absolutely. So now we'd look at the full picture. For those of you listening on Spotify or wherever you listen on your podcasts, you won't be able to really picture what we're seeing right now, but we're looking at the total team. Those of you who are on the show right now watching and who have really watched these ratings from when we started them to when we improved them after we had our Blue Abroad Kerno camp and decided to change some things. What do you make of this? Very even, very, very evenly spread.
Well, we keep saying that, you know, 5.5 is your bang AFL average for that position. Yep. 5 is slightly below. But look at all the 7s and 8s. And we keep saying this. You want your 7s and 8s in your core crux positions. And as you guys are saying, a lot of green. There's a lot of green in them key battlegrounds. Your high half forward, green. The midfield, green. Do you know what I mean? Your half forward, green. Like, that is... That's one of them anomalies of the stats of trying to be all 7s. You also want a large part just doing their job and being above and beyond, and nearly 23 players. What, only 3 players below the AFL average for their position? That's pretty strong.
Well, that might be the best total package that we've seen all year. There's no orange and there's no red. So very good. So that's the player ratings for the semi-final. Pom, we are guaranteed at least one more of these. So counting for two. So you know what it is. Monday, 6 p.m., the rating show. We revamped it. We renewed it. We copped a bit of heat for it. In the comments, people did not like change, and now they love it. And we love it. I love this. This has gone from one of my most awkward experiences in doing content because I wasn't sure how to get it right. And now I think this is one of my favorite things that we do.
It's one of mine as well, to be honest.
Yeah.
I like all of our shows, Terry, though.
I do like all of our shows, but this one just gets me going because it educates me.
Right. You should watch the watch along. That'll educate you. You'll learn some new swear words.
All right, ladies and gents, thanks for being here. We'll see you in a few minutes. The Blue Abroad show is about to start. Can't wait. See you there. Thanks, Pommy.
God bless.